You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Dan Patrick Show. I'm brought to you by Mercedes-Benz AMG, driving performance. Alongside Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. Hopefully 21 will be better than 20. That is not a high bar to climb, right?
Right. I was going to say, we'll take almost anything. If we can get outside, go to a ball game and sit next to your buddies, right? Or take the family on vacation, Doug. Anything like that will be much better than what we had.
Okay, so I guess this is like a legit question to you. What's the first sporting event that's back full stadium?
I say the NFL next September.
Really?
I say baseball will have some this summer. We'll get fans in the stands. I don't know if it'll be full, but I think by September we'll have, full, we're all in again.
Well, September for sure, but I think it'll be sooner than that. Go the extra mile.
You think baseball will have, like, full stadiums? No, I'm asking. Come on.
Tampa?
I know what that was.
Tampa's
never going to have a full stadium.
Yeah, right.
That's why they were able to excel last year, because they were used to playing with no crowds. You know,
correct.
It was nothing different for them.
Correct. Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter and get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. I think the Final Four. I don't know if they put 75,000 in the Dome in Indy, but I do think...
Okay.
Journalists, I don't know if you know this, we're like in the third tier, the third wave of vaccines that come out.
Right.
We'll be able to get. Now, there are six weeks in between when you get the initial shot and when you get the second shot. And that's how, so it's not truly effective until you get the second shot. But my guess would be that much like they're doing in Buffalo, they're going to be able to, they're going to be able to test people more often. People will get the vaccine. People will have immunity because they will have already had it. And there'll be a way in which you can prove, whether you have to prove that you have the, the antibodies, or prove that you had the vaccine. I don't know. I feel like April is that time that everybody's saying we'll start to come out of it. And that would be the first big sporting event. Maybe I'm crazy because it's indoors and maybe it'll be the Masters, but I think that's the time of year.
Yeah, I did cover the World Series this year. I was in Arlington at the new stadium, and they took your temperature when you went in, and they only allowed 12,000 people in, and it was controlled and it was fine. I didn't feel awkward at all. People had their mask on, and I just think indoors, I think people are going to be. And then I wonder, even if they allow you to come, Doug, do people sell out? Are there still people who say, excuse me, I'm going to wait a little longer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in a bandbox with 75,000 other people. I want to go, but I'm going to wait this one out. You think people will do that?
Yes, I do think there will be people that will do that. Absolutely. But I also think there's an overwhelming majority of people that will. There'll be the same number of people who will have gotten the vaccine or have had it and have the antibodies. And then there's a section of people that have been, I don't want to say like deniers or anti-maskers, but we're kind of a divided country on all things. And
when did something that's medical and science become, I don't know. I've always found that to be
since when
weird.
Did science become like, have you not been paying attention to global warming?
No, but I'm just like, but
this is what politicians do. But right, this is what people do. This is what business people
but
do.
But how many people have to get sick or die for people to realize? Like it's one thing. Doug, don't get me wrong. I get it. Everybody's not. But these aren't fake numbers. These aren't like people aren't. Or this isn't being fake. This is happening. Like,
yes.
What would you have to see to tell you that it isn't real? I just saw a couple minutes ago. Dr. Drew, who I guess said that he didn't believe that it was fake or something.
Yeah, he's got it.
He got
hit pretty hard too with it.
This is what I'm saying. Like, these really? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. But, you, I mean, like, look, scientists have been telling us for years that the Earth is not happy with us. And,
right.
You know, like, we now the wording has changed and some of the stances have been softened. But, like, the science thing's kind of been out there for a long time.
No, so, I got it.
But I would say, when was the time which there was a global pandemic where a portion of the country led by politicians denied its danger? The answer would be 2020. There's your answer. When has it happened before? I don't know. I wasn't around during the Spanish flu. But I think this was a unique year and we had unique leadership is probably the best way.
You're being kind, and let's just leave it at that.
We can't. All right, let's get to I want to get to this. Boy, the NBA is I'm excited to have it back, and there's, you know, I'm watching last night and Atlanta is playing Brooklyn and no one is playing defense, and Brooklyn
145.
It was great though. I mean, that was good hoop. Right? There's just so much offensive talent. I do like what Atlanta's done, you know, to bring some veterans in, some guys that we think can play some defense. Trae Young doesn't shoot the ball well from three. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets end up surviving the Atlanta Hawks. So if you just watch that game, you're like, wow, there's no defense. But if you look at the scores of some of these other games, just blowout after blowout after blowout, right? The Heat beat the Bucks, but that's after the Bucks had beaten the Heat the night before by like 50.
Right, the 47, Celtics, exactly, yep.
The Celtics beat the Grizzlies, and we should point out that Ja Morant didn't play because he badly sprained his ankle the night before. That's a 19-point game. The Hornets beat the Mavericks. Remember, the Mavericks were the team that were up 50 on the Clippers. That's the only game they've won this year. The Hornets win by, 19 points. The Spurs and Lakers, of course, that's notable because Becky Hammon became the first even acting female head coach when Greg Popovich got ejected. The Clippers blow out the Blazers, and those were mild blowouts compared to the night before. Why do you think there's so many blowouts in the NBA?
It's very interesting. I find the NBA at current state, I know things will get better, but unwatchable for the most part. And Doug, you're a basketball guy. You played the game at a high level. I love basketball. I've been covering the league for a long time. And it's hard for me to watch these games where it seems like, I don't know if the players are all the way into it. Is this preseason? There was a couple of graphics put up on the Clipper game the other night, which showed that 25% of the games so far have been decided by 20 points or more. And then TNT also had a graphic which talked about how many games in NBA history had been, you know, by what teams won by 50 or more. And last year, there were only two such games in that category. And in the first week, we almost had two of those games eclipsing that or matching that number when Dallas won by 51 and Milwaukee won by 47, almost. So I don't know if it's they rushed the guys back too early, the guys aren't really into it and don't really, you know, care, and it's going to be a month or so before they really feel like they want to play. I don't know. I would love to hear what you think, because you watch it and this is your sport. You're closer to it. It just, I'm not a guy who's going to watch a 25 or 30 point blowout. I'm going to look for a Golden Girls rerun if the game gets out of hand.
All right, I would stop you at the Golden Girls rerun. Let's stop at the Golden. I think there is twofold of what took place. I don't think this is a player revolt, but the players, especially the ones, the Lakers, and maybe the to a lesser extent the Heat, like that is a quick turnaround, quick. But you have it on both sides. Some teams hadn't played since March. Right.
Some teams didn't go to the bubble. Right.
Right. Neither. And there so there is no perfect, you know, there is no perfect way to start the NBA, like, because you had to start it now. And I think that leadership understood you got to start it now because you had to get those Christmas Day games in for
what
TV.
They say, $500 million or something extra, or they would have lost out if they didn't.
Yes. So this is one of those begrudgingly going to work. teams trying to manage it, no one trying to get hurt. But again, this is part of it is where the league is, where it's become, it's the pendulum swings, right? Where sometimes you have the power of the owners or the NBA, they call them governors, and the front offices is too great. The pendulum has swung back the other way where I think it's too much in, you know, labor has too much power and it just does. Where the players, they're just games are like, man, I don't really want to, I can't go. You don't know who's going to play. Like why? It's not just that the games aren't that much fun to watch because there's no fans. It's you don't know who's going to play. Right? Like last night, LeBron and Anthony Davis decided to play. But the game before, Anthony Davis basically no-showed and LeBron didn't play. Right. So I just and that's only a micro. You got KD and Kyrie that KD hadn't played in a year and a half. And his second or third game in, he's taken it off.
It was his third game, right? They won the first two, and then same he didn't
thing with,
play.
Same thing with Kyrie. So you're like, look, if you're not that into it, how can I get that into it as a fan? And I think it's good. It, no matter how good it ultimately gets once we get to March and April, and I think that, and like anybody who's like thinks I'm a hater on the league or the players, dude, these guys are so much more talented than are skilled in many ways, more with the basketball than without, than previous generations. The shooting is obscene. The depth of talent on some of these teams, they finally gotten it spread out to where you got two stars on many of these teams. Some aren't as good as others, but you do the days of the when you get three or four stars in this league where it's all spread out, it's too much, right? So you have some parity there. You got so many good things, but God, it's a hard watch when the games are so non-competitive and you don't know who's going to play in a given night.
I agree. And that's the other part. I'm against the whole rest thing from a standpoint. Now, people aren't buying tickets or whatnot, but Doug, I think it's very unfair. I don't have any kids, but if my son wanted to go to a Laker game and see LeBron in person, you know, on Christmas or whatever the day is, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, this is where the uproar is that he didn't go to Memphis, and maybe it was three or four days before Christmas. You remember that? And,
yes, I remember.
And that was Christmas presents for a lot of kids. You know, like that was, they're coming to town, I'm going to see LeBron in person, and not only did he not play, he didn't even show up. He didn't even travel to Memphis. And a lot of people felt jilted, like they got cheated. And I don't think that's right. I just don't. When people get hurt, Doug, we buy tickets. I understand that. If you're telling me he's on the disabled list or the injured list or whatever you want to call it, I can accept that, right? Things happen. People get hurt. But when I hear, oh, he's resting today, I don't want to hear that. I want to be able, unless I can get a refund on my tickets, I'm not happy with that. And I don't like it. I think it's a bad thing. I know Pop kind of started it. And then once LeBron started taking days off, people followed the leader. And then other guys started doing it, and it became a problem. And even ESPN and ABC balked at the league. Am I right, Doug?
I don't think there's any question. The TNT is not happy about it either. It's bad. I mean, like, look, there's a multitude of factors. I mean, look, you've priced out many of your, you know, blue collar fans anyway, right? So as much as I agree with you, you know, the kid in Memphis. Many of the kids in Memphis were affluent kids. So like, you know, like, look, that kid gets plenty of presents, right? So we've the idea of pricing out your you know your lower to middle income fans is a problem, and it's not just the players' problem. That's the owners' problems as well as you know. There's everybody's trying to make a buck anywhere possible, and that's going to get worse, not get better. But yeah, I mean, like, look, those are the consumers, and anyone who's ever been to a game and seen that one magical moment, it's like, why do we go to baseball games as adults when, you know, it's like, boys, like, well, because when I was a kid, you know, Randy Myers from the Mets threw me a ball when I went to a Dodgers Mets game, right? Like, I remember that.
I was in Shea Stadium. I was working, but I covered Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, my first World Series I ever covered, Doug, when the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs. I'll never forget that moment and what it felt inside Shea Stadium. You know what I mean? Like, you don't let go of those things. I agree with you.
Yeah, so there's a multitude of problems, but I do think and the NBA had to know this, and they're doing their best to manage it. They don't want their players to get hurt, and they also don't want their players to think they're going to get hurt, because that's when you either do get hurt or you just don't play with optimum effort. But whatever it is, as talented as these teams are, the product is just, I mean, it's just ragtag at times, because you have such a disparity in who's playing and who's not. Speaking of that, can the NBA fix that as a problem? We'll ask an NBA insider next in the Dan Patrick Show. But first, ever wonder just how far the extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. They offer a variety of vans, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris. Each are tailored to match your work or play lifestyle, with options like blind spot assist and active lane keeping assist, plus MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. Now, what better way to go the extra mile than in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van? You could win by entering Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Just head to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com to enter and get rules for a chance to win a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van equipped with TVs and a wood pellet grill. Get all the information and entry details at foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. Sweepstakes ends January 24th, 2021. Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described, is optional. This is definitely a 2020 and beyond radio discussion. Dan Patrick Show rolls on Fox Sports Radio. With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Rob, are you a coffee guy?
No, I'm not. Actually, I've never had a full cup of coffee. I had one or two sips of coffee when I was in high school at a friend's football game in the pouring rain on Staten Island.
Yep.
I thought it was the most disgusting thing I ever tasted, and have not had a taste of coffee since I was 16 years old.
Wow. Okay. No, it's okay. It's not for everybody, right? I had one puff of a cigarette in college at Willie's Saloon, where I, in the summer, worked the door, and on a dare took one, and I said, that's the most, that is, I would rather lick the north end of a southbound bull than ever do that again. Coffee, on the other hand. So this show begins at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, and Starbucks is open before six. So I could, but I had a little bit of, for people who don't know, Rob is co-hosting his normal show. That's The Odd Couple, which gets underway at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And I'm sure he's probably doing something local on AM 570 as well. I have my show, which precedes his, which I have a 4-hour solo show.
Yeah. So what are you taking over, the Straight Out of Vegas hour as well today?
Yeah, they're off today, so I'm doing a Straight Out of Vegas. Anyway, so there's a coffee company, which I believe is a national one. It's called Phil's. It's fairly expensive. So I ordered it on an app, on Uber Eats or whatever. And I get this dinging that it's delivered. And, you know, like, you walk out the door, you're like, where's my coffee? I've been waiting for my coffee for two hours now, right? I get my coffee, and it's like, it's delivered. And I look, and, you know, they even take a picture of where it is. It's right there on the doorstep. And I was like, hey, that's not my house. Like, did I get the right address? It was at the house across the street. You know, but I don't want, they have a new baby. I don't want to wake anybody up. So if I get arrested for stealing off of somebody's front porch, just know I wasn't actually, this is more of an O.J. Simpson deal, right? O.J. Simpson went to jail for stealing his own stuff. I went and got my coffee back from across the street.
So you did. You were a porch pirate. Is that what they call them, right?
Porch pirate. I did not know. I had never heard that. Porch pirate is a new term.
That's what they call it. The people steal your packages from your door. I had a run during the Christmas, you know, delivery thing, where three or four times somebody left a package in front of my door, which was for the apartment, the same apartment that I'm in number-wise, but across the street.
Yeah.
So I just took the package across the street and put it at the front door. I didn't get in the building, you know what I mean? But I took it and left it for them. That stuff happens all the time.
All right, let's welcome in Kerhelan, who joins us. He's the lead NBA writer for NBC Sports. He joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Do you want to come clean about any porch pirating you've done
That's right. We
during the pandemic,
know.
Kurt.
No, sadly, now I want to like go on like Ring Neighborhood though and search where Doug Gottlieb is showing up on somebody's video.
You know it, and he probably doesn't have on a lot of clothes, and he's like, "Who is this guy?"
Honestly, like if we're being honest, I've worn the same sweats now for 3 days in a row.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. I believe it.
I was kind of picturing like a flowing robe for some reason. But okay,
yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that flowing robe. Kurt, help us out. Why? I mean, man, there's been a lot of blowouts. Why do you think it's been so bad so far?
Yeah, it's been strange just to see. I mean, teams like the Bucks blow somebody out and then get blown out. Like it's, I think. Part of it is the faster pace of games and shooting more threes. You're just going to get some kind of random variance in games not to go all statistical, but like you're just going to end up with more blowouts in that kind of situation. But I also think it's this year. It's really just the short training camps. Not every guy came into camp in shape because of the quicker turnaround, and some guys were kind of caught off guard or enjoyed their time off a little too much. Whatever it is. The short training camp seems to have, guys are just not bringing it every night. And like I said, it's not a case where you're like, oh, this team gets blown out, then they get blown out again, then they get blown out again. Like I was there for the, Christians of the Lions Clipper Dallas game the other day.
Wow.
But the Clippers won their other four games. Like, it's not like they're bad. They mailed it in for a day.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the Brooklyn Nets. I love the makeup of that team, the depth. Yeah. Kyrie and KD. KD has been to the conference finals, what is it, every year since 2013 that he's been, when he's healthy.
No.
And I just wanted, Doug, a side note, Plaxico Burress somehow bet me for a pair of new Jordan off-whites that the Nets wouldn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. He has a new show called The Up On Game with LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh. But he actually bet me that the Nets won't make it to the Eastern Conference Final. Not win, not go to the finals, not win the finals, but actually get there. Please tell me I got a great bet going because I like the Nets and what they've done.
Where do you find suckers like this to bet? That's where I got to find.
I don't know. I was like, what? I'll take that bet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep Eastern Conference, and it's a long way off, so whatever. But they have looked like maybe the best team in basketball to start the season, right? Like, the Lakers are going to be there at the end, and I'm not really worried about them. They're 3-0 when Kevin Durant plays, and their defense is going to have to tighten up a little. They didn't, gave up 141 last night to the Hawks and what have you. That said, they look phenomenal. They really... Kevin Durant in particular, by the way, not only is putting up, 33 points or whatever last night, and he's averaging all this, watch him on defense, and you can see him just stick with guys. Christmas Day, a lot of people watch that game. He was on Jason Tatum for a while and did a incredible job on an, all-NBA level player. He's moving so well. Kyrie's got the thing back. They're going to miss Spencer Dinwiddie, but I'm with you. To me right now, they might be the best team in the East.
Well, no, look, I think talent-wise, everybody, I don't think anybody think. I mean, first, there's a little bit of the KDFU tour, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're right about that. I think people, he just had it. People said, well, you can't win a championship. All right, I won championships. And by the way, I outplayed LeBron in both the NBA finals.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I was a finals MVP, and he felt like he didn't get the respect he deserved. Then he comes back early from injury, and they probably would have won the thing if he was healthy. Who knows? He gets hurt, and it's like people, all of a sudden, everybody forgot how good he was. So I think that's a motivating factor. Look, the Plaxico bet is basically betting on injury and dysfunction because if it's just based upon roster, and you already had the injury to Spencer Dinwiddie, who he tore his ACL in college, but that wasn't the guys you're totally worried about. But Spencer is the solid in the sometimes erratic and up and down Kyrie who will just do what he wants. Like that's the big thing is right now everything's going great. You're winning. It's going according to plan with the exception of Spencer Dinwiddie. How does Steve Nash handle Kyrie when things don't go well, when there is some form of adversity? That's really the question there, is it not, Kurt?
first off, there's not going to be any adversity when he's walking around burning sage before every game. He's just the bad juju is out of the building. It's all, no.
He's the all-time sage leader. I just want you to know
He is. You're going to miss Spencer Dinwiddie, too. He's just going to get, I don't want to say injured. They're going to. He notoriously misses some time during the season. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but you're going to miss that depth as a third playmaker. They're going to miss him when Kyrie goes. And you're right. I think that when this, we'll see how this team deals with adversity when some really hits it. But I think that that's what Steve Nash does bring to the table is just calming influence. He's just steady. He's just not a guy who on the court, he was a guy who never picked up his dribble. Right? Like, he just, like, all right, six guys around me. I don't know where the sixth one came from. I'll just keep going. Like, he just never seemed to get phased, and I think he's going to be that way as a head coach. And I think they need that kind of calm mentality around them to weather some of the stuff that will eventually come. Every team faces adversity, except the team Doug Gottlieb was on, obviously. Not those teams, but every other team.
Yeah. No, everybody goes through it. I want to know what happens next. Let me ask you about the Clippers.
I like the Clippers. I think people are going to be disappointed if they want to write that team off. I actually think they got better, and I like that Kawhi and Paul George have something to prove and reestablish this year. I like the Clippers.
I do too, and Kurt, I think in one of those, what were they actually missing? Yes, it was chemistry, but they were also missing rim protection, and they got that in Serge Ibaka.
Yeah,
right?
I like that.
And you got a guy in Nick Batum who, if he's your best player, you're screwed. If he's your second best player, you're screwed. But you know what? If he's your fifth best starter and maybe your sixth or seventh best player, and he just has to be a multi-positional defender, a 3-and-D guy, now all of a sudden, he can flourish. I really like it, and I like how their offense looks so far.
It looks much better.
Am I taking the bait early on the Clippers?
No, I'm with you on pretty much all that. Nick Batum showed up in shape, in much better shape than he has the last couple of seasons, right? Like, he just looks sharper. He's healthier. I think there may be more motivation to play for the Clippers than the Hornets the last couple of seasons, and it just kind of showed in how he's approached. He's looked good. Serge Ibaka for me is in a vacuum. Is Serge Ibaka better than Montrezl Harrell? They're probably not, but for them, he's better. You are spot on. He spaces the floor on offense and doesn't clog the lane. He gives them better rim protection and. Let's be honest, Nikola Jokic isn't playing him off the floor. And that's what happened to Harrell in the finals. So I think the Clippers are coming to better. There's better motion offense. And I think Ty Lue was able, granted he moved over a chair, but he has the gravitas to come in and kind of say, hey, this is how the chemistry is going to be. This is the pecking order. I mean, Harrell being gone kind of set that up. This is the pecking order. This is how we're going to do things. And take it in a direction Doc couldn't because he'd just been there too long. I like the way they're set up outside of, apparently I just shouldn't go to games because when I go, they get crushed. But every other time I've watched them, they look great.
Yeah, they really have. I'm interested to see where that is. I know this is off the map. The Knicks have won a couple games early on. What do you make of could James Harden wind up there only because – this is what the Knicks do, it's just keep putting Band-Aids on, a terminally ill patient and not really fixing the problem because they want somebody who has a name or some cachet. I look at that roster and look at that team. I don't know what they're doing.
If James Harden ends up a Knick, it means that Leon Rose couldn't keep James Dolan out of basketball decisions ultimately, right? That's a James Dolan, hey, you know who we need kind of move. Right? Like, even though it raises their floor, it would make them a playoff team in the East, but nothing more. And then they'd have to pay him again in 2 years as he gets older. It's not a great fit. I mean, what I've loved about the Knicks so far is, A, they didn't do anything stupid this offseason. They didn't hey, let's go throw some money at an aging veteran. And they've looked better. I mean, they've looked disciplined. They have looked like a well-coached team that's starting to see players develop. They've playing hard every night. Little steps, but they look. It looks like the ship is going in the right direction for a change, right? Like hey, you're doing all this right. So it would be very James Dolan to go, you know, now that things are going well, what we need to do is bring in James. So we'll see. I hope not for their sake, but it's not. Nothing's impossible in a James Dolan world.
Let me ask you one other thing. I've always called Sacramento NBA Siberia. I now think it's Washington. That's NBA Siberia. It is, you know, Westbrook, I mean, he's putting up his numbers, doing his thing. They haven't won a game. Where is that franchise going? I know it's terribly run, and they just haven't been able to get anything going. But is Westbrook there to die? I mean, what is going to happen in D.C.?
I don't know that they're going to be able to move Westbrook, but I can tell you that there are GMs circling that team like vultures waiting for Bradley Beal. Right, like Bradley Beal is the guy everybody wants to trade for. He signed a short extension, but he basically, I mean, in theory, they could trade him at the trade deadline and probably be next offseason. But teams are circling because if it's ugly there, he's at some point, isn't he going to ask out? And he's going to be in a what is now that everybody's, you know, Giannis and all these people and LeBron and AD and everybody signed these extensions, and there's just not a great talent. Paul George, there's not this great talent pool in the free agent class next year. Everybody's looking at trades. Harden's on the top of the list, but Beal is right behind him. And if they don't start winning, it's going to get messy there. And I'm not sure. Their defense is terrible. Defense is just dreadful. And I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where I think if they win a few games, it's because they outscore teams, but right now they're not doing that, and they're not going to win that many with that defense.
All right, yesterday was LeBron James's birthday. Obviously, you know, for the most part, outside of the opening game to the Clippers and a no-show game by Anthony Davis, he's looked every bit of LeBron James. The Lakers on paper appear to have a much better roster than they had last year, and the Marc Gasol thing on paper works, and there's been some times in practice where it works, but will it in your mind, do you think it all comes together in the end?
I do. I think, look, right now their defense isn't where it was a year ago. I mean, their defense carried them to that title in the bubble.
Correct.
And it is just not back. It is just not back to that level yet. A lot of new faces, but having Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder on the second unit, plus it turns out LeBron and Anthony Davis are still good at basketball.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to win. They're going to be a top seed, and they're going to be able to take the regular season seriously enough, but not so seriously as to wear guys down, build up some chemistry, and I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be rolling when the playoffs hit. They may not be the one seed, but they will be there.
All right, last thing. We mentioned Brad Beal. And I know that the Warriors have won a game, and they're not bailing as of now, but I don't like the roster construction done there.
Oh, no.
And it's not just that Klay got hurt. Like, what makes Steph special is Steph's probably better off the ball than he is with the ball in his hands, and they had constructed a roster. And granted, they don't have Draymond, who is like their point center for them at times. But you had KD, you had Sean Livingston, you had Iguodala, you had Barbosa, so many of these guys that could handle the ball and allow Steph to just roam and catch and create and make plays. You don't have that. How do you go about fixing all of these issues that the Warriors have because their roster was poorly reconstructed?
And all those guys you mentioned, Doug, high IQ players that knew how to take advantage of the space. That the gravity of Steph Curry is that he's going, not only can you not leave him, but like a help defender better be nearby, right? So you really, he just pulls defenders off the ball and stretches the defense, and it creates all this space. The guys on that team now don't know what to do with it. Like, James Wiseman doesn't know what to do with this space. It's just a young, it's not as high IQ a team. They don't have the same talent. I'm not a huge fan of, look, Andrew Wiggins is going to be Andrew Wiggins. He's going to be once every 2 weeks. You're going to be like, that guy. Ooh, he's awesome. Oh, he's back to being the other guy again. Like, it's just, I'm with you. I'm not sold. I'm not even sure they're a playoff team right now in the West, which is so deep. But even if they are getting into the play-in and they're a threat,
I don't think they'll win another championship.
You got to get Klay back. I don't, even when you get Klay and Draymond back, I'm not sure how good this team is with these pieces around them. They don't have the role players. Maybe they can develop James Wiseman this year into something. He's athletic. He's an athletic freak with a lot of talent, but he also looks like a guy who played three games in college. He's still his head spinning out there right now.
It is amazing how quickly and how mightily. I mean, you go back a year and a half ago, and when healthy, they were going to win their third title, and then it all kind of fell to pieces. Yep. Kurt Heelan, read his work at NBCSports.com.
Man, appreciate you. Happy New Year.
You too, guys.
Happy New Year. I'm going to put on a robe and go out and
now
and
what are you going to get? A sweet roll? Is there a sweet roll on the
we can get
porch?
That delivered. We could. It's on somebody's porch. Roll? I'll go porch surfing.
I don't know what you're doing, Doug. Phil's has actually really great pastries. Like, they've got good croissants and stuff, man.
I've never heard of Phil's.
It's not all. You don't have to use new tea. You don't have to be coffee. Every cup is handcrafted. You get some tea. I'll bring you next time we're in person. I'll bring you some Phil's tea. I'm not a carb guy, Kurt, with the exception of a little bit of sweetener in my coffee. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. Happy New Year.
You too. Take care, man.
All right. Look, 2020 has been a tough year, but Rob and I are just going to vamp on what was the best sports moment of 2020. With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Dan Patrick Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz AMG. Alongside Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Rob will be co-hosting his show, The Odd Couple, which is a great show. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, so kind of taking you close to New Year's. What are you going to do for New Year's Eve?
I got a bottle of champagne. I love champagne.
What kind of champagne?
I'd have to look at it. Actually, my agent gave it to me, and it's in the fridge. It's cold. It's ready to go. So I'm assuming it's a good brand. I don't know the name of it, Doug, off the top of my head.
No, go
but anyway,
look. Hold on. You look. I'll vamp. You go look in the fridge. Rob Parker's going to look in the refrigerator. Did anybody else think, like, that's got to be a stainless steel refrigerator, right? When do we make the switch to stainless steel refrigerator? Stainless steel refrigerator's not great, though, because you can't have the magnets and put kids' stuff up on it. But it does look classy and cool. I don't think he has the black or the... When are we going to get the matte black... Fridge, right? Okay, what kind of champagne is it?
Is it Taittinger?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's Veuve, right? There's Dom.
Is that good? Okay, Dom, okay, I know that. Veuve, I don't know.
Veuve is the yellow, it's got the yellow wrapping, whatever.
Okay, Veuve.
Cristal is the creme de la creme, That is big time. But that's fine. I mean, he sent you a $2 bottle of champagne. He must think
you know what? I need a refund on my
Taittinger Brut Le Français champagne. That's a $50 bottle.
Okay, that's what it is. So I'll have that. What about you and the family now? You know, the family, you guys going to watch TV together and then...
I'll share with you quickly a story and then we'll get to our best sports moment. Last year, my son, he's 11 now. He was 10. He wanted to stay up. And we're like, you're not staying up.
That's a great age, though.
Right.
You know, between 9 and 12 is great.
Right. So he's like, we'll do the East Coast thing at 9 o'clock, and then, you know, we'll work our way towards bed. So 9 o'clock rolls around, and everybody's talking, and we're flipping around, and we're doing something, and we missed it. And he's like, you missed it. You missed the ball drop. Like, all right, you can stay up till 10. We'll catch it at 10 o'clock, right? Swear to God. So we're watching, like, KTLA 5 or something like that because they have the ball and whatever. And then we're flipping over to Seacrest, and we're like, let's just go with the one that has the ball. You get to like 10, 9, 8, and all of a sudden, they go to local news at 10 o'clock.
What? What?
Like, what? So I believe at 9 o'clock, I'll get my son some cider, my 14-year-old daughters as well. But I am not a stay up late guy, especially after 4 hours of radio. Your best sports moment of 2020 is what?
Unfortunately, it's not on the field. It was Michael Jordan's last dance. I thought it was. At the time, Doug, where we were, and It just was great. I covered Michael Jordan during that time. You know, I was an NBA beat guy. I was in Cleveland when he made that shot over Craig Elo, sitting courtside. So to tie it all up and for a lot of people to see the Michael Jordan story, who have heard about Michael, who wears his Jordans but didn't really know, I thought that was well done, and I thought it was great.
You know, it's interesting. It was like it was at the perfect time, too, because it was like,
it was.
See, that's why, right? You want to be like, and I understand that it was definitely told from his side's perspective, but I think there was a lot of honest storytelling in it, but it was that it really made me feel good about my stance I had always taken on Jordan and what he was about as a player and as a competitor, and it spoke volumes for kind of like my generation of athlete. That's who I want to represent. I got the Dodgers winning in the World Series. To me is the best. I mean, like, look, last year's Super Bowl was pretty amazing. We forget that was in 2020, right? Where you had the Chiefs, and the Chiefs who had been the kind of the team that had always gotten to the playoffs and found a way to choke early in the playoffs. Now we're the team that came from behind in every playoff game. But I would say it was the Dodgers, and it was because, you know, Clayton Kershaw, like, shed the label of being a choker. And it just, I don't know, baseball is so good where you can sit there and have a conversation and still watch the sport. We did it as a family. I thought that was mine. Game 6 of the World Series.
No doubt about it. That was awesome, and it was a redemption for Clayton Kershaw. No
all right,
doubt.
Tomorrow, Rob Parker, who just likes to do the radio all the time, with my man TJ Houshmandzadeh. They'll get you ready for the New Year's Day bowl games. Have a happy and safe New Year. I'm Doug Gottlieb. He's Rob Parker. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.